This podcast is sponsored by Canaccord Genuity Wealth Management, award-winning wealth managers who go above and beyond to support and guide you. Visit candowealth.com to start building your wealth with confidence.
Hello and welcome to Coffee House Shots, the Spectator's daily politics podcast. I'm Cindy Yu and I'm joined by Katie Bors and James Forsyth. So, as of last week, violence started erupting in Belfast from the loyalist factions, but last night it escalated into something more serious. Petrol bombs were thrown, a bus was hijacked, and there were reports that children as young as 12 and 13 were being involved. James, can you explain to listeners what's been going on there and why it's happening?
So these are loyalists rioting. It would be wrong to pretend that there's kind of one simple explanation for what is going on. I think that there are kind of three factors at play. One is a police clampdown on some lawless paramilitaries' drug trade. I mean, that is driving some of their anger. I think there is also a sense that the failure to prosecute anyone for the breaches of the COVID regulations at Bobby Storey and a former IRA man's funeral is a kind of sign that has been taken by these lawless as a sign that the kind of police is scared of Sinn Féin. And so I think they're trying to make a point on that front. And then finally, I think there is an element here, which is that there is a sense that people decided that you couldn't have a land border on the island of Ireland because people were scared about terrorist violence. And so there is a desire to kind of create a sense of fear about possible terrorist violence, about this kind of half a sea border that there is in the Irish Sea, between Northern Ireland and Great Britain. I mean, those are the factors behind the violence. I think what is most worrying about the situation in Northern Ireland at the moment is the danger that what one might call pragmatic unionism finds itself in. If you think back to the start of this year, you know, Arlene Foster was not a fan of the protocol, but she talked about trying to make it work, trying to find a situation where Northern Ireland could get the best of both worlds, as the phrase goes. She is now involved in a kind of legal action with other unionist parties to try and get the protocol scrapped entirely. She is now not speaking to the head of the Northern Ireland Police Service because of her actions as regards the Bobby Storey funeral. And I think it's not hard to see a scenario, and indeed the latest Lucid Talk polling in Northern Ireland suggests this, where come the next Stornoway election next year, the unionist vote splits three ways between the DUP, the UUP, and the more hardline traditional unionist voice, at which point Sinn Féin would be the largest party, and at which point you would have a Sinn Féin First Minister. Now, you can say that the First Minister and the Deputy First Minister they are equal roles. I find it hard to believe that power sharing in Northern Ireland could survive having a Sinn Féin First Minister.
Katie, this has urged the Northern Ireland Secretary, Brendan Lewis, to fly over today. How serious is this and how much can it spill over if it's not correctly responded to?
It's clearly very serious. We've also had statements from Lowe's on the scene saying, actually, it's very lucky that no one was seriously injured or killed last night, given the number of petrol bombs being thrown. So I think you can't really underestimate the severity of the situation. In terms of what the UK government can do, you've had Boris Johnson among those voicing concern. As you say, Brendan Lewis travelling to Belfast to meet political parties. He said he is aware of unionist concerns in recent months and has been engaging and listening to them. He said the right way to express concerns or frustration is through dialogue, engagement and the democratic process, not through violence or disorder. Starmer has also said it's completely unacceptable, the current situation. But I think because there's been dialogue going on, and Brendan Lewis has alluded to that, this question of what is actually going to fix this situation. Now, I think as James makes clear, I think it is too complex to point to any one thing. I think clearly the Brexit deal as it has come together has aggravated the situation, as have other elements. But to be honest, I just think there is a sense that it is hard from the Westminster point to come up to the solution on this, because as James again points to, we have a situation where if you're looking ahead to those elections, you're looking ahead to the various parties, is getting harder and harder to see that compromise landing ground to bring everyone, closer together. In fact, it feels as though everything is going further apart.
James, Arlene Foster has called for the resignation of the head of the police force in Northern Ireland because he allowed this Sinn Féin funeral to go ahead. Was that a political miscalculation to call for something that probably is not going to happen? And if it's not his head that should roll, should anyone's head be rolling?
I think the handling of this Bobby Story funeral has been poor. The law has to apply to everybody. I was talking to various people in Northern Ireland yesterday, and the common refrain I picked up from people was that the expectation was that this whole business, which has been going on for quite some time now, I think this would just be dealt with by some fines being handed out. Not kind of great prosecutions, but just a few fines to say the law applies to everyone. It's the fact that what people expected to happen hasn't happened has exacerbated the problem and made the whole situation worse. I think to come back to Katie's point about Westminster's difficulty in dealing with this, I think there is another problem here, which is that unionists in Northern Ireland, you can't get round the fact that they feel particularly let down by the British Prime Minister and Boris Johnson. They feel that he came to the DUP conference famously and gave a speech, and they feel that he hasn't followed through on that speech. And that, I think, is in terms of his promises about how Northern Ireland will be treated. I think that creates a tricky situation for the UK government when it comes to trying to calm the situation, because the situation in Northern Ireland is always particularly dangerous when there is a distrust on the unionist side, and particularly the loyalist side, of the UK government itself, which I think there clearly is at the moment. I think that the question now is what to do. And I think that the solution has to involve a different approach to applying the protocol. Now, the EU could take a position of saying, look, you signed up to this protocol, you've got to abide by the lesser of it. I think if they do that, the consequence in Northern Ireland could be really quite serious. In that, I think if you get rid of all the grace periods, which the UK has unilaterally extended for itself, the protocol will start causing serious disruption in Northern Ireland. And if you start seeing empty shelves in supermarkets, I think that, you know, this situation will get even worse. And I think you need a kind of more pragmatic approach to the protocol. You know, for example, 20% of all the checks being carried out in the single market are currently being done in the single market area, are currently being done between GB and Northern Ireland. I'm not sure that that is a proportionate response to the current situation.
Katie, how politically dangerous is it for the Prime Minister also from the Labour angle? Because, as you mentioned, Keir Starmer has also come out to condemn the violence, but he did explicitly link it to Brexit. So is this something that, you know, Labour could be using to criticise the Prime Minister with and for it to snowball?
To a degree, I think, as we touched on, I don't think that this is just down to Brexit, but I do think the Prime Minister is clearly in a weak spot there. We've already seen these videos circulating of Boris Johnson's visit previously, where he's talking about, you know, no checks. And I don't think that the Prime Minister's comments on the issue of Northern Ireland, where it comes to what he said previously to the DUP, or even how the Northern Ireland protocol was going to work, really do him any favours. So I think it is a fairly easy area for Labour to go on the attack. And if you look at, I think, you know, back to the Brexit debate, which obviously feels a while ago now, there are lots of people at the time pointing at potential concerns, big concerns, both from the EU referendum campaign and discussing the various types of deal on the Northern Ireland issue. And even when it came to getting that deal through Parliament, back when all the Tory MPs, or at least Number 10, made a big thing about how all Tory MPs were going to vote for it, Owen Paterson, former Northern Ireland secretary, did not vote for it. I think he didn't vote against, I think he abstained on the grounds that he could not support what he thought the Northern Ireland provisions were. So there's been plenty of attention on this, but therefore I think in terms of how much it damages the Prime Minister, I think he already looks fairly weak on this. So Labour can throw it. I'm not sure how much it is going to further damage him in a political sense.
It shouldn't be true, but it is undoubtedly true that mainland British opinion does not pay as much attention to Northern Ireland as it should. Just look at where these riots come in the running order on the news.
Yeah, absolutely. And in another corner of the UK today, James, overnight there have been two new polls talking about the upcoming Holyrood elections and various parties' electoral prospects. What do they say?
So there are two polls which point to two very different outcomes. There's an Ipsos Mori poll implying that there would be a fairly comfortable SNP majority on their own. There's a Scotsman poll suggesting that the SNP will fall just short of a majority and would only be able to form a majority with the support of other pro-independence Greens. I think there is a big difference between these two outcomes. I think a straightforward SNP majority will give Nicola Sturgeon more leverage in her calls for IndyRef 2. I don't think the UK government is going to grant that, but it will give her more moral force in making that argument. I think if the SNP falls short of a majority, even if it can create a pro-independence majority of other parties, I think that argument doesn't have quite the same moral suasion.
And Katie, what about the fate of the ALBA party, this new organisation that Alex Salmond has founded?
So there's a really interesting blog on Coffee House by James Kangasorium looking at this. And ultimately, when it comes to the voting system, that piece explains it in much better detail. But ultimately, I think if ALBA can get to around 6%, and currently polls suggest below that, more like 3%, but if they can get to around 6%, that's when you start to see, I think, a swing in favour for pro-independence parties. And because of the voting system, it's not so much denting the SNP, so much as adding pro-indie voices to the SNP also doing well. So that's why you're hearing talk, depending on which poll you read, of a supermajority in favour of independence. That is if ALBA can go above 6%. If it is below 6%, then I think or more around 3%, which some polls suggest, that is more likely to actually dent the SNP slightly, is not such a helpful case there, and harder, obviously, for ALBA to have many voices in Scottish Parliament themselves. I think what is interesting looking at some of the polls today is I do think that a few weeks ago when Nicola Sturgeon was really feeling the stress of the Alex Salmond inquiry before we had the James Hamilton verdict in, ministers, Tory MPs, but also some ministers were beginning to almost imagine a world where Nicola Sturgeon was not their biggest threat. And I think that perhaps a little prematurely, there was some false hope that the SNP, because they seemed dented in several polls, and there was a sign that support from the SNP is being damaged by the whole affair, and also support for independence appeared to be going down slightly, that the SNP would struggle to get a majority. Now, the Hamilton inquiry then came that on the surface cleared Nicola Sturgeon, and it was seen as an independent inquiry. And I think we're now seeing the resilience of the SNP. And at the time of the Hamilton inquiry, you had a few SNP commentators saying Nicola Sturgeon's going to come back stronger than ever. Now, I think the polls are too mixed to say for sure, but I do think this slight dream in Westminster of the fact that scandal infighting would be enough to stop their majority looks as though it's not coming to fruition. And that does raise difficult questions, because if you do have a situation where a majority of 13, which is what's opinion polls says, I think we have seen a shift in strategy from Downing Street on the Union. Now, everyone says all about emphasis, but it's about how you talk about a referendum. It's no longer once in a generation. It was briefly reckless, but I don't think it focus grouped very well. So now it is irresponsible. But if you're talking about an irresponsible referendum, that is suggesting, yes, if you win a majority for the SNP, there could be an argument for a referendum, but not right now. That would be irresponsible. But I think that means that in that scenario, because you have conceded the idea that it's no longer once in a generation, Boris Johnson would face quite immediate questions about when is the time. And although they can say, oh, the time isn't the first 2 or 3 years, is it irresponsible to have it in 5 years? Is it irresponsible to have it in 4? I think you're just opening a dialogue, and perhaps that's what you need to do, because all the focus groups and the people advocating this say that it backfires if you say no full stop. Mm. But even if it is the right scenario, I think it creates a whole world of problems for Boris Johnson the day of those results.
Very sticky unionist wicket. Katie and James, thanks very much. And do join us again tomorrow.